Well, tonight we're going to look back at some things we talked about last week, and we started getting into the area of looking at, because people do ask the question, what's the purpose of tongues? You don't understand it. And we were looking last week at Scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. This is one of the things that when people don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or they've told us that's not so, or speaking in tongues is not so, most likely either they maybe don't attend a church, or even if they went to a church, the church either never taught on it, because there's some people that ain't got a clue about it. And as Christians, if you made mention about tongues, they know not a thing about it, or being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And there's other ones who say, well, that's of the devil. But what it is you'll find is they not being taught about it, then many things in the Bible that deal with the areas of the Spirit, they misread it because they don't know what it's talking about. So, and really, I found that just many ministers are very ignorant. I've sat and listened to people teach sometimes, and I sit and listen to them teach it. I think, man, they don't have much revelation from the Word of God, because I can listen to what they talk about, certain scriptures and things that they do talk about, that they really don't have any kind of depth of what it's talking about, this dealing with the Spirit. And especially dealing with the Holy Spirit, you have to know the Holy Ghost, how the Holy Ghost works and what He wants to do. Being able to flow with the Holy Spirit if you want to amount to anything as a Christian. You can't do it any other way. And so the importance is especially of being baptized in the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, the Apostle Paul, writing this to the church at Corinth, he said, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." So we understand this, what the Bible is talking about. It isn't about us speaking in tongues that we understand. It's about speaking to God. It's about God understanding. And so we're not speaking to men, so even not to ourselves. It isn't about us. And one of the things is I made mention before, is dealing with the areas of authority is really an area that the church world as a whole doesn't understand about authority. They don't understand because generally the body of Christ believes that, God's in control. If God wants something to happen, it'll happen. If God don't want it to happen, it won't happen. And generally the body of Christ believes that. So that general belief leads me to know this fact. They don't have a concept of their authority. Therefore, it wouldn't make sense to them to read this scripture. This doesn't make sense because they don't understand that God does what He does in the earth through men. God's given man authority. And through God, especially dealing in the areas of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, when we speak in tongues, what we're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak out the will of God through us to God. And understand this, it must come from the earth. It must come through a man. It has to, or God doesn't have the right to do it. What you and I do is by faith, when we pray in tongues, or whatever we do when we're doing in tongues, whether it's worshiping or magnifying God, what we're doing is we're opening ourselves up as people in this earth, as a human being, allowing God to carry out His purposes through us. Allowing God to do it. That's why it says here we're speaking mysteries. In other words, these mysteries, well, what's the point? Is it a mystery to help here? Or what, am I just talking things? Am I just sending a coded message to God and nobody ever figures out what it is? No, it's so God can carry out His plans and purposes here. It always must start out here. The Bible says in Isaiah concerning the Word of God, it does not return unto me void. In other words, the Word of God must be returned to God, or it don't do nothing. See, it doesn't matter what God has said into the earth. It doesn't matter what He has spoken to the prophets. It's when men took what the prophets said and spoke it back to God and said, "Yep, God, we're in agreement with you. God, what you said you want to do, that's what we want to do. We want to follow on your path." You begin to speak God's word back to Him. Then God's word doesn't return void. So then God's word is carried out. But God's word is powerless if it's spoken into the earth and man doesn't pick it up and speak it back. Well, through tongues, God begins to operate through us where we could speak out the perfect plan and will of God. In this instance, it says, we speak mysteries through us. Mysteries, God's mysteries are spoken back to Him so He can carry them out. So He can do it. And see, it's a requirement of faith. And see, we speak tongues by faith. This is one of the things you find. When people don't understand what tongues is about, I will guarantee you this, they don't understand what faith is about either. They have very little knowledge on the subject of faith. They don't know how faith works. They think faith is, well, you just trust God and sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no. That's their doctrines. See, this is a faith thing. This is why you have to understand this faith stuff. We got to understand walking by faith because that's what pleases God. That's what opens up the door for God to be miraculous. And so that's what we want to do. And tongues really does open up that door to the miraculous. And so you want to do that. So when we're talking, so if somebody asks you, why do you talk in tongues? Say, I'm talking in tongues, I'm talking to God. Well, what are you saying? Well, take them to this scripture. It ain't for me and it ain't for you. It's for God. Well, they're going to turn to you and say, why? Say, well, the only reason you're asking why is because you don't believe what the Bible says. You're asking why because, you know, this is one thing. You know, there's some things we just got to accept. This is just the way it is. It isn't a matter of explanation. If the Bible says something's true, we have this tendency of our culture to just keep asking questions. You know, some things God will not answer to you. The Bible says what it says, and you have to accept it at that. And what happens is we don't do that. It will eventually lead us to the place where we'll quit learning. We just got to accept things are true. And so here it says, when I'm speaking in tongues, I'm not speaking to men. So it's not for me. It's for God. So I let God, through the Holy Spirit, use my voice on this earth to talk to God. So, you know, lots of people say, I want to use by God, but they don't want to be used this way. Well, I get used by God all the time like this. Or I'll just speak in tongues. So, God's given us a divine means really to talk to Him supernaturally. We can converse with God supernaturally. The Moffat translation says that we're speaking divine secrets. There is divine secrets of God. So, we can commune in fellowship with God in our spirit without the interruption of our minds and our feelings. See, most people want to know God really intellectually, and they want to know God feeling. That's really what most people are trying to do. That isn't how you get to know God. You don't get to know God through your mind and through your feelings. Although, if you do learn to hook up in the Spirit, it will affect your mind and your feelings. But people have it reversed. They're trying to get the feelings, they're trying to get the intellectual part. That's what they want first, and that's not the way it goes. It doesn't operate in that way. So God, and these things, you know, you need to get over in the areas where you believe these. When you're talking in tongues, and you're speaking in tongues, because I will guarantee you, your mind at times, I mean, I'll have today. Sometimes I'll pray in tongues for a long period of time, and I have no kind of emotion or feeling about it or anything going on, yet I'm just going to town in tongues. And my mind will every once in a while, and I'm sure the devil's trying his best to talk to my mind, you know, was like, you know, this ain't going nowhere. This ain't going no place. But see, if you don't know what the Bible says about it, what happens is you end up start over in the intellectual side. I mean, I've come to the point, I don't even, when that thought's come to me anymore, I'll just pray longer in tongues. You know, it's like, dear Lord, I want to pray till my mind gets tired and goes to sleep and quits bugging me. And you just stay over that area. But you have to know what the Bible says. If the Bible says that I'm doing this and I'm speaking mysteries to God, then therefore I'm speaking mysteries to God. This is what I'm doing. And keep yourself, you know, thinking like that. So we have this place that we can step in really to the supernatural and walk in the supernatural. So God's plans and purposes is we've got to speak them out here in the earth. We're the ones with the authority. Now, praying apart from our understanding in 1 Corinthians 14:14 says this, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. When I'm praying in tongues, when I'm doing that, my spirit is praying. This is about your spirit praying. It's not about your mind praying. It's nothing intellectual about it. And this is difficult to people because intellectualism, always we are trying to carry the intellect into what we're doing. Well, really, when it comes to tongues, it isn't intellectual. And to me, this is the most wonderful things because if it is intellectual, then it's gonna then the spiritual things are limited to the more educated. Well, see, if you think that way, well, you already got a roadblock. See, I think it's wonderful the plan that God has established a plan of faith. And it's not based on intellectualism at all. In fact, you know, the guy that can't even read or write can enter in. That's right. The guy can enter in. You know, God has provided a plan that everybody can enter into it. In fact, if we get too intellectual, it makes us hard to enter in. I don't know about you. There's times I've thought too much about things. I've reasoned too much about things, you know, and it has caused me more problems than help of reasoning, and not just, you know, just stepping out and just walking by faith in it, of trying to think things out. So I'm praying, my spirit's praying. So this praying is outside of your mental intellect. So the best thing that you this is one of the best things that could ever happen to you, is to step over into the area of the spirit. You're going to have to leave intellectualism. That's why science can't step into the areas of the spirit, because they're all based on what they call natural facts, on what they can prove physically, or what they feel, or what they, or what else. This is how they operate. Well, this doesn't operate that way. It doesn't operate in that way. So the best thing that happens is you leave your mentality behind. You're not trying to reason nor think about it. You find out what the Word of God says, and you just believe what God's Word says about it, and enter into it accordingly. The Amplified Bible says of this scripture, it says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. But my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody." In other words, if you get over in the areas of tongues and you start reasoning, you're going to hurt yourself. It ain't going to do you any good to get over the areas to start trying to reason things out. You don't want to do that. It's realized, because it's not to be reasoned out. It's not for that purpose. And so there's nothing the matter with being educated. But there's things that we're dealing in the areas of the spirit where education just can't enter into it, can't go there. So you want to walk in line with the truth of the Word of God. Get within yourself what the Bible says. Take what the Bible says and just be satisfied with that knowledge. You know, lots of times what people want to come along and they ask you about these things, they want you to give them an intellectual answer. You got to learn to know the difference and learn to stop and say, look, I could sit here all day and talk to you about this, and you know, you'd be keep asking me where Cain got a wife. You know, we ain't going there. We're, you know, it's just because people want intellectual answers, because why? They can't respond by faith. If a person, you get a person who's intellectual and you give them a faith answer, what do you think's going to happen? They ain't got a clue what you're talking about. They haven't got a clue where you're coming from. You're talking God, you're talking intellectual, spiritual language, and they're talking human intellectual language. You know, and definitely it is like talking in tongues to them, because they have no clue what you're saying. So there are some people that want to learn something, but many times people, they don't want to learn. They're trying to receive off of an intellectual level, and you can't give it to them. That won't work. So there are things that God must speak through us while we're here on this earth, and I believe this, I believe sometimes it is better off that we don't know what's being said, you know. I find at times, you know, there's things about revelation, sometimes even God has given me about, spoken to me certain things. And when God says them, you know, sometimes things to you, it can be over your head, in a sense. God might be bringing you revelation, but it's totally different than what you think. And what happens is people have a tendency to start to try to reason it out and figure it out. Well, after a while, then they're trying to help God. And that gets to be a mess sometimes. But there's many things I believe that God can speak through us as through tongues, that we're saying things really that are above our spiritual knowledge and understanding, that He can speak things through us, and it's above us. And that's good. In other words, God can speak through me to bring things past beyond. See, this is one of the things that I believe, the prayer over in Ephesians, where he says what he'll do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think, according to the power that's in us. It's about what's operating on the inside. It's not about what's operating on the outside, your intellect and all your great thinking. It's about what's happening on the inner man. See, I believe the inner man can bring things to pass for us. And God will bring things to pass for us through the inner man that's above what we know, above what we even comprehend or have been taught spiritually. maybe down the line there's things that we'll surely run into and know and eventually understand what things God was doing. But at the time that we're in, we need to learn to operate over in this area and give God our tongues, and much more often than we have generally done. We need to give God our tongue and let him speak through us. So you'll always have the people who come who say they don't understand why we would pray in tongues or why we would do that. Well, just tell them, I'm talking to God, I ain't talking to you. That's why I'm doing. I'm just saying things to God. Well, what are you saying to God? Say, I don't know either. And it don't matter. So the Bible says, that's what I'm doing. That's what the Bible says. Say, now, you say you believe the Bible? That's what the Bible says. So if you don't believe it, then you don't believe what the Bible says. So, you know, just tell them what the Word says. So we look over, we look back at what Paul said here, again at the second verse of the 14th chapter, because he said, he made this statement at the end of it. I'll read the whole verse, but the statement at the end we're going to look at, it says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but he speaks to God. For no one understands him, however, it says, in the Spirit he is speaking mysteries. In other words, it's in the Spirit. He is speaking these mysteries are in the Spirit. In other words, these are not naturally spoken words. These words are spoken in the Spirit. But here Paul's talking about praying in tongues when he's talking about and uses this term of speaking in the Spirit. So if we looked at Ephesians, and this will help you understand some things that are said. See, Paul made a statement here. Paul wrote this letter, but Paul also wrote Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. And so here he tells us, when he used the terminology about speaking in the Spirit. Now this is speaking in the Spirit. So you go over, and Paul talks about prayer over to Ephesians 6, chapter 6 and verse 18. If you look at Ephesians 6 and 18, it says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. See, here he talks about praying, you know, in the Spirit is praying in tongues. Because listen to what he says. Being watchful to this end. And all with all perseverance and all supplication for all the saints. Well, let me tell you this. Now, in other words, he tells me I'm supposed to pray for all the saints. I don't even know all the saints. I wouldn't even know what to pray for all the saints. Dear God, do you know everybody in the earth? You know every Christian in earth, and you know all the stuff about them and what they need prayed for? Paul just told us here we're supposed to pray for them. Well, if it's supposed to be out of my mentality, those people are going to be hurting. I ain't got a clue what to pray for them. This is what you need to understand. You're very limited. Any Christian who is not filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues is very limited in their ability to help anybody else spiritually. Because they're limited in their prayer life. They're limited in asking God. They're limited in what they can bring to pass. They can only bring to pass things that they know. They can only pray for you on the basis of what knowledge they have about you and your situation. And that could even be dangerous. Because you start to pray on the basis of knowledge and just knowledge alone, you might not, you know, you might see a person has a problem, but you probably never know what the root of that problem is. That's what the Lord had spoke to me one time. He said, you're like a doctor who just treats symptoms. I've heard Christians say this time and time again. I've heard ministers say it over TV and stuff, and it scares me. They watch TV, they watch the news, and then they hear things going on, then that's what they pray about. Oh my God, that's scary. You know, after the devil does his thing, then we're going to start praying. I'm going to let CNN run my prayer life. As I think, dear God, what an ignoramus. I mean, that's absolutely insane. We have to understand this about this praying in the Spirit. See, praying in the Spirit opens up the door for God to operate through me to even pray for other people beyond my knowledge and understanding. I'll tell you what, thank God. Just think if our prayer life was only based on our knowledge. Your prayer, you can only accomplish what you're based on your knowledge. That's it. You're in trouble. See, I don't care how much knowledge you gain of God, you're still in trouble because if you can only operate in the realm of your knowledge. God's given us the ability here to operate. We can pray for people. I can sit down, Lord, I don't know nothing about this person. I don't know a thing about them. Holy Ghost, I'm gonna let you use my tongue for that individual right now, and I'm gonna let the Holy Ghost work through me to pray for that person, because I don't know what's going on. I don't know why their problems is. I don't know. You know, if I got into my intellect, I'd probably be on the wrong track. And so, that doesn't mean there's things that we can pray for people. The Bible shows us specifically things we can say for people that would help them. You know, no matter what the condition or what's going on. You know, we have prayers, two prayers that are in the book of Ephesians that you could pray for Christians. It would be good to pray for them. And if they're good, you can do that. But when you get into specific areas of prayer dealing with people's problems, most of the time we don't know. We don't know why they exist. What happened? And that's why praying in the Spirit is such a powerful thing. We can pray for all the saints. Hallelujah. You know, we don't have to sit and answer phones and try to find out what's wrong with everybody. So we can pray for them. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's not, you know, I can pray for any saint. I can say, Lord, tonight I'm going to pray for all the saints in France. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't know a thing about them, and I don't know what's, but they're your kids. Hallelujah. But Holy Ghost, you know what they're putting up with and what's going on over there. You know who needs what. Glory to God. God, I'm going to let you use my tongue tonight. Hallelujah. And we're going to pray for the saints. You can do that. Hallelujah. As we go on in these teachings, you'll find out things that the Bible says concerning this area, praying in the Spirit, that, by God, we can pray in the Spirit about so much stuff and so many things, really, that the church has not really walked in the light of all we can use tongues for. It's absolutely astounding of all we can use them for. So we need to continue over in that area, praying in the Spirit. So I want to go back and look, because we want to add on to something here in 1 Corinthians, again, in 14 chapter. We use the Scripture in verse 14, but I want to use 14 and 15 here. I want to read them together. And 1 Corinthians 14 and verses 14 and 15 says, For I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. He said, then what's the conclusion then? Now this is Paul making a statement. He said, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I'll also sing with the understanding. So here is Paul said, look, we do both. There's things that we have knowledge of the Word of God of what to do about, or what to pray about, or we have the knowledge of the Word. The Bible tells us things that we can pray for someone, or we can do, or even concerning ourselves, we know. And look, you better be praying in tongues for yourself too. Because I'm going to tell you what, you don't know as much about you as you think. Praying in tongues is a huge help. And we'll talk about that later on, but it's praying for yourself. So Paul said, look, from what I do understand, what I do know from the Word, from my understanding area, what I do know, I can pray. But he said, he talks about praying. He said, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. So understand this. Paul did not say here, I'll pray in tongues when I get an anointing. When I feel like God's moving on me. Well, I feel like something. Well, I'm going to tell you what, the devil will give you goosebumps. You can end up with feelings. Paul didn't say that. Paul said, just like by my will, I can pray for an individual of what I know and understand. I don't have to wait for an anointing to do that, do I? Do you have to wait for a special anointing to come on you so you could, you know, pray for somebody, you know, that you know is going through a problem or something? Well, you don't have to. Well, he said, I will pray with my understanding, but I'll pray with the Spirit. So I do both of them. I do them what? By my will. See, he's operating in the areas of faith. When I pray by what my understanding, I'm supposed to be over in the area by faith. I'm over there praying, believing what the Word of God says. Well, it's the same way. I can pray in tongues, believing that God is speaking mysteries through me, helping that individual. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to believe in the Word's true. That when I'm praying in tongues, and God is operating through me, praying. See, it's all about faith. You got to believe this stuff. It isn't. You know, you could pray in tongues and not be in faith and not do a thing. Everything's done by faith. It's just like praying. If I know the will of God, if I pray it and I didn't believe it, it ain't coming to pass. It's all done by faith. So you want to operate in the areas of faith. That's why you need to know what the Word says about things and then operate over in that area. And go ahead and pray for people. Just like he said here. He said, what? He said, I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. In other words, Paul said, I sing in tongues and I also sing words that I know. I do the same with both of them. Every Christian should be doing this. Every Spirit-filled Christian, you need to do it. If you don't practice these things, you're going to be limited. You're always going to be limited. You need to practice these things. You know, say, well, I don't know how to do it. Well, it says you can do it by your will. You just determine you want to do it, do it. If you're, it's like I said, you don't wait for a feeling. I never did wait for a feeling. I don't know what people do wait for feelings for things, because most of the time I don't ever get no feelings till after I've done something for a while. In the spirit, what the word says so. But it tells us that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do those things. I found out, just like in the area of singing in the spirit. I do that all the time, singing in the spirit. You know? Singing tongues. Say, well, I don't know, maybe I'm not good at singing. He don't say nothing about there. You had to be good at singing, or you had to know notes, or you had to know anything. You don't have to know a thing. I don't know. I sing in tongues. I just found out, you know, the more I do it, the better I get at it. You know, many times I sing in tongues. This morning I got out of bed and stuff, and I was in the bathroom singing in tongues, and then I just started singing out the interpretation of the song I was singing. And I sang that for a while. And it, what really was, it was for self-edification. It was just edifying me, the words that were said. That's what it was. It was edifying me and building me up. So you do those things. But you, if you do not practice it, if you wait till, you know, maybe if I got to be, maybe I would take singing lessons or something. Well, if you're waiting to do that, just forget it. That's not what this is about. So practice it. You know, practice doing it. It's one of the things that I practice, you know, those things at home. And you know, it's just like we were in a church service. There's nothing wrong with a worship service and that stuff. People singing in other tongues during a worship service, you know. You get over there singing out of your spirit. Those are good things to do. And it's fine. We sing songs that we know words to. But, you know, I'll tell you what. Many times when we're singing, I just know I am not expressing to God what I just need to express. And there ain't no other way to say it than to say it in tongues. There ain't no other way to say it. Say it in tongues. I know it. And you know what? I don't get any satisfaction until I start speaking out in tongues. Then I'll get satisfaction. I know it. I'm not talking about a feeling, but I just know in my spirit. I know on the inside, I needed to get that one out there. I needed to say that. I know down on the inside of me, I needed to get that out of there. And so Paul's telling us that this is what he does. So Paul's saying, you know, he prays both ways. He also sings both ways. One way he's dealing with his mind. The other way, it has nothing to do with the intellect or what you know spiritually or how much knowledge that you have. Hallelujah. But yet I am a big believer in this. The more you operate on the spirit side of it, the more knowledge you'll end up gaining. In fact, Kenneth Hagin, and I learned from him. I mean, as a young Christian, and he talked about it. He said the major revelations that I've gotten from God that changed my life, changed my ministry. He said came while I was praying in other tongues. So he was a student of the Word, but he got revelation from the stuff he studied while he was over praying in other tongues and singing in tongues and doing things like that. So that is a huge, huge help. So make sure that you know you take the time to practice these things. You know, as most Christians think that praying in the Spirit is just praying with, you know, more fervor or more energy, or maybe I just, you know, I got a little more spunk, so when I was praying tonight, you know, that there was being spiritual. No, it ain't got anything to do with the outside. It ain't got anything to do with the outside man. Now, thank God, you know, sometimes that we pray in the Spirit. You can pray praying in the Spirit, being under the Spirit of prophecy. I've had that happen many times. Or the spirit of prophecy. And that can operate on any Christian. That's not something tied to somebody because the people say, well, it's a prophet's office. That has nothing to do with the prophet's office. The spirit of prophecy, which it tells us, which Paul wrote to the Corinthians, we are all supposed to come to prophesy. Well, it's not just talking in a meeting or saying something. Many times I'll get over in the area, I'll begin to pray out of the knowledge that I have or on an area or something. And all of a sudden, the spirit of prophecy will drop on me, and I'll start speaking out of my known language. I'll start praying, and I'll pray all kind of stuff concerning things. I've had that happen where I've prayed for an hour or more just under the spirit of prophecy. I've prayed about things. I've had that happen. But I'd say it happens all the time, but Christians can move into that. You can learn to move into that, spending time over in the areas of prayer. One of the things is praying in other tongues, becoming spiritually more spiritual conscious than natural conscious. And that's one thing, praying in tongues will help you become more spiritually minded, where you're more conscious of your inner man, because we'll find out later, that one of the things we do is we edify or build ourselves up, or our spirit up, is what we're doing, is we're praying in tongues. In other words, your spirit gets more powerful. And there's one thing about this world. This world's run on the basis of power. And whatever has the most power is what's going to rule. And your flesh will rule you if it has the most power. Your flesh will dominate you if it has the most power. But if your spirit has the most power, then your spirit will become dominant over your outer man. That's what we want. You want your inner man to become more dominant over the outer man. And so you want what's on the inside, and you want to hook up with that. So we, when we pray, and it's like I said, the spirit of prophecy, that is me really, when you praying, really, it's coming out of your spirit in your own known language. And you can pray things outside of what you know. I know there's times of praying, I've had that happen, where praying, where really, I started praying concerning, like say, would be praying sometimes an individual, and I'd start praying things out, and I'd think, God, I didn't even know that about that person. But I'm praying out certain things that has to do about with what their problem is, and I never even knew it existed. But you, sometimes you get over those areas and do that. So praying in the Spirit gives us a supernatural ability, because we found in Ephesians 6:18 when it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. And as I said, we can't pray for all the saints. We could never do that. We don't know everything about them. But we can be effective in prayer with people through praying in other tongues. And this is why, as people say, you don't know what you're praying. I'm still convinced sometimes for praying for people, it's best you didn't know. You know, there's things that I've found out, and I've heard people say this, when they found out certain things about individuals, they begin to have a hard time to pray for them because of what they heard about the person, it affected the way they believed. Some things you don't need to know nothing about. Sometimes don't ask so many questions about a person. Sometimes you're better off not knowing. Because what happens, it affects you, because it affects, you know, your emotions, it affects things. You don't want to do that. So sometimes some things are good not to know. And getting over there, the tongues, you know, we can pray without prejudice. Amen. I'm serious. You know, there's people you might not even want to pray for, but you're praying in tongues and God has you praying. And really, it is. You know, everybody, I mean, there's things and stuff. There's things sometimes that I've heard I wish I'd have never heard. I wish nobody had ever told me or said anything about it. You know, because then you fight with that. You fight with that when you're dealing with it. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to look at an individual about things about them, of how on earth you're going to deal with them or whatever it is, because of what somebody said. You let that enter in, and that can really affect you. But we have this wonderful supernatural thing where we pray in other tongues. We're stepping into a realm, and really, it is a supernatural realm, and it's not a supernatural feeling. It doesn't, you know. I found myself as praying in other tongues. Many times it does not seem to me from any emotional area or anything that it has done anything or stuff like that. But I do find this when I come along and when I am in a situation, I find out, boy, I'm glad I was praying in tongues, because what's on the inside starts working. You might not notice it. It doesn't seem like anything's taking place, but something has taken place. And so you want to walk in the light of that. So through praying in tongues, you have direct communication with God. Praying in tongues, you're in direct communication with God. Say, well, I don't know what I'm saying. He said, no matter. It don't matter. You're in direct communication with God. Really, through tongues, we're communing with God. We're in communication and communing with God. And see, it requires faith to do that. That's what pleases God. We're communing with God. So you and I are talking to God, communing with Him. The Word says so. Hey, just take it for what the Word says. If you operate in it by faith, I will guarantee you it's going to have an effect on your life. It's going to bring an effect. It will. It always will. There's no such thing as operating in faith toward God and it not make a positive effect in your life. That's an impossibility. God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If I'm operating in this area of faith, I don't know what's going on. It doesn't matter. It's having a positive effect on me. It's going to work on my behalf. I'm communing with God. Somebody say, well, you don't even know what you're talking about. Well, so I know, I've learned this. Communing doesn't have to do with intellectualism. One of the big problems is in the church world today. People are trying to come into union together, become one as Christians together on the basis of usually all natural fellowship. That isn't how you hook up. The church is one in the spirit. The church sure ain't one in the flesh. Because every time people try to bring union through the outward, it always ends up a mess. And people leave good Bible doctrine to do it. That isn't how you go. You come into one with people. You do it through the Spirit. You want to remove junk from the church and people's prejudice and all the nutty stuff that goes on? Get people spiritual. They don't look at things the same anymore. They aren't moved by what's going on in the flesh. They aren't. That isn't what drives them or moves them. They're not moved by that. It causes you to walk on a higher level. And that's what we want to do. Praying in other tongues takes us. We're communicating with God in the Spirit. So we're communicating directly with Him. And communicating, you're not limited. Tongues, you're not limited. You're not limited in your expression to God. I've learned over the years just by practicing in tongues. There's things that I try to communicate to God that I know I need to speak in tongues. And when I speak in tongues, there's a spiritual satisfaction that I have that I do not have trying to express things or say things by words. I can't do it. But I know on the inside. You know, it's like Kenneth Hagin used to talk about before. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, I used to go spend time with God in prayer. But he said, I always felt like I never hooked up. I always felt like I never was got to where I was supposed to. I never felt like I was. He said it wasn't until I got baptized in the Holy Ghost that I started going to God and I could finally express my heart to God, he said, through tongues. He said, I started leaving the place of prayer where I felt satisfied on the inside. So you come to that place. Now, many people do it though. If you stay over on the intellectual side, you won't run into that place. We're talking about spiritual, on the side of your spirit. Learn to listen down on the inner man, not the outer man. You know, you can be over there praying in other tongues and your mind's talking, wants to make sure the coffee pot's turned off. Doing all kinds of crazy stuff, or your mind's thinking all kinds of things. And well, you want to get over. You need to pray in tongues long enough till your mind finally finds out that you're not going to do nothing about that stuff. And really, don't go do that stuff, because here's one thing of it is, don't let things interrupt you. If you get over, do you want to become sensitive in the spirit praying in other tongues? You know, you might have to throw your cell phone away if you're one of those people who you just cannot stand not to answer your cell phone. Because I tell you, your cell phone can make you a very unspiritual person. Because most people cannot resist their phones. My God. I mean, I can listen to a phone ring all day if I'm having a good time with God. I don't care who it is. God can tell me if it's a problem. It's getting over there till your mind becomes, but quits. Keep praying in tongues till your mind finally stops doing all that crazy stuff. I first started off, it used to take me a long time to get that way. I can do it much quicker now. I can get over there and get my brain shut down on me and learn, because my brain has learned that I'm not answering. We ain't gonna do it, you know. That's why we have answering machines. That's why we have, you know, this voicemail. That people never let it happen, you know, because we got to answer it right away, you know. My God, the world's probably ending, and I want to know about it. You know, my family probably just died in a car accident. Well, if they did, you couldn't have done nothing about it anyhow. They're already dead. You know, but people get over there. Your mind will get over on things and go to stuff. But you want to go over there in the spirit till you come to the place where the outer man is not dominating and the inner man is. Because you're going to hear things over in that area. That's one of the great helps of going over and praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, hooking up in that area. Praise God. It's praying in the area of Spirit. One of the things is in John the fourth chapter. Jesus speaking to the woman in the well of Samaria. He said to her. He had spoke to her about, you know, the water and well, and told her he could give her a drink. But in verse 24, he says, God is a spirit. He spoke, said this. He said, God is a spirit. God's a spirit being. You need to get a hold of this. God is a spirit being. God does not commune with your mind. Because God is not a mind. Now, he is to some religions. He's a mind. You know, there's a lot of people, oh, God's this big mind out there, and, you know, we're going, they're going to hook up to it. No, it isn't. God is a spirit. And it says, and those who worship him, what? Must worship him in spirit and in truth. God requires two things about worship. Then there's two ways that we worship. Paul talked about singing. Paul said he sang in his understanding, but he sang in the spirit too. See, really, you can tie that right to this. We worship what? In spirit and in truth. We worship God. God is, look, the church. When Jesus really is speaking to her about what was going to take place, she asked, where do you worship at? He said, up there in Jerusalem, or do we do it over here in Samaria at our temple? Which place are we going to do it? And he said, neither one of those. He said, God's a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in the spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Worshiping God in the spirit. God wants us to worship him in other tongues. You were born again for the Holy Ghost to be in you so the Holy Ghost could talk through you. That's one of the things God wants. And that's one of the things of speaking in tongues. Spirit, be speaking in spirit and in truth. In other words, speaking in line with the Word. In other words, what I do, the knowledge of the Word that I have, I can supposed to speak that. I can worship God with the knowledge that I have of God. I can worship Him. But I'm also supposed to worship Him in the Spirit also. Outside what my knowledge that I have. In other words, you and I have a way of worshiping God. Tongues, in tongues, we can worship God. Just like Paul said, he sang in the Spirit. We can worship God in other tongues. And so that's part of what God wants us to do. That's what God says. God is a spirit, and those who God's looking, He's looking for this group who will worship Him in spirit and truth. That's what God wants. God isn't looking for the people that are mental geniuses to know a lot. He's looking people just fall in line with the Word, get in line with the Word of God. So we're people of the Spirit, and that's what God wants. The church is supposed to be a people of the Spirit. You know, if it's interesting, because he put here, he said they worship in spirit and in truth. He put spirit first. In other words, what we do as in worship to God is supposed to be motivated from our inner man, not from our outer man or our intellectual part of us. That's not what's supposed to be the motivation. It's supposed to be motivated by the inner man, by the inside. That's what God wants you to be motivated in. So really, most of the church world today tries to worship God, and you know, I believe they try to do their best, really worshiping God, really from what they know of the Word. That's where most people. That's as far as they go. That's as far as it is. You know, they have songs that they sing. Is mostly, I mean, there's a lot of songs out there that ain't even align with the Word, but you know, people like them and sing them. But basically, most Christians, I give them. You know, I just give them the benefit of the doubt. Generally, they're trying to worship God from what the knowledge they have of God. That's how they do it. But that in itself is not pleasing to God. What I know of the Word of God is not going to be pleasing to God that I limit myself, because God never limited man to that. And that's a limitation. And that limitation is definitely going to affect the body of Christ. If I can only, I can't take part of worshiping in the Spirit, but I'm going to just do the worship, you know, in truth part of it, and think I'm going to arrive spiritually where the person who operates in spirit and truth is going to get. You can't get to the same place. You're not going to arrive. You're not going to come to the place of the same knowledge of God. You're not going to come to the place of the same understanding of God. Why? Because it doesn't matter. We're all Christians. But we are limited. We limit ourselves by how much we act on the Word of God. We'll limit ourselves of how far we can go or what we're able to do. So you want to flow in line with the Word of God. You want to stay in line with the Word. So we can pray in tongues, we can sing in tongues, which really is direct communication to God of worshiping in the Spirit. And it's good. I mean, we can sing. You know, it's just like God sure wants us to sing out songs. It's just like I said this morning, I'm singing in tongues. All of a sudden, I'm singing out the interpretation. So God gave me the benefit to know what I was speaking in tongues, magnifying Him and what I was saying. So in other words, God is also interested in giving us revelation of what's going on while we're doing that. Now, you maybe sometimes don't always do that, but there is a lot of times. A lot of times I speak in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. I'll get over in the area in spirit. Sometimes some things come out sort of poetic, and you know, other things are just like songs that come out, and those things. I learned that just Kenneth Hagin talked about it, so I began to practice it in the spirit. You know, I just started off by going and singing in tongues and, you know, starting to operate out of what's on the inside. Start saying what's on the inside of me. We'll say, well, it don't make sense. If you don't, if you're waiting to all of a sudden get, at least five lines of a poem before you're going to say something, you're probably never going to operate over in the areas of spirit. Sometimes I get no more than a word comes, and I'll start saying that word, and then all of a sudden stuff will start flowing out of me. But you got to act on what you got. But you understand, it says prophecy works that way, and tongues and interpretation work that way. I just, I speak in a tongue and I just get one word. But if I don't speak that word, I don't get any more. I start to speak and then stuff comes. You don't get it till you do it. And so, get over. That's why I say practice at home by yourself. If it looks dumb, nobody knew you were dumb. So nobody knows it. Unless you go tell them. But you practice it. And that's really where you learn to operate in the things of the Spirit, really, in your private life. That's the place to learn how to do these things, is operate over in these areas. So, but our understanding or our mental knowledge really limits us, and our ability really to commune and fellowship with God, if we just try to approach God on that level, that'll really put a lot of limits to us. So we need both types of praying, and Paul said to pray, we're supposed to pray both ways, in the Spirit or in tongues. We're supposed to sing in the Spirit, we're supposed to sing in tongues. That's what he said he did. If he said he did it, Ed Gibson's going to do it. Because, people say, oh, well, man, Paul had such revelation. I learned this a long time ago. If a guy attained to something, I'm going to practice what he did to attain it. These people sit around, well, maybe God don't want to use you that way. Well, you ain't going to ever get to that way unless you do something about it. You know? God wants me to be a spiritual illiterate, you know? No. If I find out, if Paul got a lot of revelation from God, and I see over there he spoke in tongues more than all the church at Corinth, then Ed's going to start speaking in a lot of tongues. Because that's why I see, well, look, Paul must have put that out in the foreground. There's what he did, that was something he really practiced at. So I know that's something I want to really practice at. And I want to tell you what, it does work. There's a guy I graduated the year before me in Bible school. I got to know him, worked for him some. He was a cowboy from Texas, but he had worked in the oil fields too. And so he had his own business. He would go buy up oil equipment from sites and that stuff, and then take them, sell them to other people and stuff. And so I got to know him, pretty good around. He's a good, wonderful Christian brother. And I would sometimes go. I would go with him and that stuff to pick up equipment, that stuff. I'd drive, drive his pickup to take him there, and he'd pick up a truck or something, an oil rig truck, and drive it back, and I'd drive his truck back. Got to hang around him and that stuff. Well, he prayed in tongues a lot. He prayed in tongues a whole lot. And I never forget this, because another brother I knew, a guy I really loved, great, great, great guy, but he made a statement one time. He said, he prays in tongues too much. He just does it all the time. And he said, I don't know. You just, he goes a little bit overboard. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm convinced of this. If he wouldn't have, he would have never seen a miracle in his life that took place. I talked with him and his wife. In fact, they gave me it's a newspaper article about his grandson. His grandson was kicked in the head by a horse in their barn, and it crushed his skull. And when he found his grandson, they didn't know how long he had been laying in the condition he was, but he said he was dead when he found him. But he stood over him and said, he said, my grandson ain't dying. This ain't going to happen. And anyhow, they went through the things of what took place and all that stuff, and When they picked him up in the ambulance, the boy took him to the hospital. He was dead, but they got the hospital and he started breathing. Well, you know how doctors are about that one. You get down there, well, he didn't have oxygen long enough, and, surely he's going to be a vegetable. He'll probably be a carrot or something. I don't know. Whatever they mean by that. So anyhow, they said he was going to be a vegetable. They said, no, he ain't. He's going to live. He's going to be fine. He's okay. Don't worry about it. Well, they finally got to the point with them. The doctors got so tired of hearing it, they thought they were in shock. This was what's wrong with them. They're in shock. because they keep saying this and they don't realize that this thing ain't going to work. You know, this thing ain't going to happen. Because they said, you know, look at his condition. His head was crushed in the side. His skull was crushed and everything and all that stuff. And doctors give him this report. And they said, no, he's lived. He'll live. He ain't going to die. He's going to be fine. And, well, what happened is the next morning the doctors come in and they take off bandages and the skull's not crushed anymore. It's all out. It's like, oh. But he's still going to be a vegetable. You know, this thing ain't going to work. Till the next day he's home from the hospital. Next day he's home, but they just refused. They just stood in the hospital and talked and made the whole of them in the, all of them in the hospital crazy. They were, you know, the hospital, they all thought they were nuts. But they had this article, they gave me a newspaper, the newspaper article, you know, told all about it. Even the doctors even testified in the newspaper about, you know, what took place. And they said it was a miracle. We didn't, you know, we couldn't do anything. We didn't know what to do. But, you know, he's a guy who just prayed in tongues. And you know what? You know, he didn't walk around and seem a lot different than anybody else. But I'll tell you, when something happened in life, he was different than everybody else. He was totally different than everybody else. And that's what makes the difference. It wasn't until a year later he found out from his grandson, they were talking, his grandson lived with him, and they were talking to the grandson, they were sitting there just talking some things about the Lord, just at the breakfast table. And the boy said to them about seeing Jesus. And they were like startled because he had never said anything about it. He said, he saw Jesus. And he said, well, when did you see Jesus? He said, oh, Grandpa, you remember, he said, when the horse kicked me? He said, I saw Jesus. But he said, you saw Jesus? He said, well, what happened? He said, yeah. He said, I went up to heaven. And he said, I saw Jesus. And Jesus said, you can't come here. Your grandpa won't let you. I'll tell you what, I am totally convinced. All that praying in tongues helped him big time. Hallelujah. Because see, his inner man was being built up all the time. All the time his inner man was being built up. He was praying to another. He was communing with God, communicating with God, speaking secrets. See, there's one thing. You can't pray out your future in the natural. Your mentality, because you know what your future is unless you get over in the spirit. Many things, you can go over in tongues and pray out concerning your future. God knew in the future that He changed the future concerning His grandson, praying in other tongues. See, we use our prayer lives mostly about what's around us right now. We don't use it for as much, not near as much as it should be used for. When you get over in the air of the Spirit, you'll start praying out the mysteries to your future. There's a lot of things for your future. This is why many people, stuff doesn't come to pass that they would like to see come to pass in their life because it's never been prayed out. It can't be prayed out in the natural. It can't be prayed out under natural things. You get over and the mysteries of God concerning your future can start to get to pray, be prayed out. You want to get over there and pray. See, I believe he prayed in tongues and prayed in tongues. I think he got over into things concerning his life, his future, his grandson's future, and they turned some things around, which was supposed to end up to death to that boy, which probably normally would have, but was turned around because of that. So it's important, you know. If Paul said he prayed in tongues more than all, I'll tell you what, I don't think none of us probably pray in tongues near as much as we should. Somebody might think you're crazy for doing it. Let them think you're nuts. Because I'll tell you, everybody's going to face challenges in life. And there's some people make it over big time and others go under. I'll tell you what, I'm going to be the nut praying in tongues going over. I'm going to be the idiot that prayed till I made it over. Hallelujah. I'm going to be the crazy guy. Let me alone. You know, if I'm going to operate out of my mentality, dear God, I'm in trouble. Hallelujah. So we want to hook over into those areas where we're praying. Hallelujah. Hooking up with God. In Romans 8:26, it just says this. We'll close with this. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, it says here, it doesn't say we don't know how to pray. It says we don't know what to pray for. Sometimes, you know, we know the Word tells us, you know, that, you know, we're supposed to ask the Father in the name of Jesus, whatever we do. But I'll tell you, many times, even with ourselves in situations, we're limited on what we know how to pray about a situation. You know, just like me, praying for our nation. It's important to pray for my nation. I mean, if I could only pray for the leaders of our nation and our country based upon my knowledge of things, man, are we in trouble. But we can go over in the area of the Spirit and pray. It says the Holy Spirit helps us. The weakness that we have is we're not God. We're not all-knowing. We aren't all-knowing. Now, God took us as finite beings and given us the ability to pray out the perfect will of God. To pray out God's plans and purposes. See, it's when Christians look at themselves and say, well, you know, I really haven't done a lot, or I don't seem, you know, in life. Like, so many Christians really go through life thinking, well, you know, I really don't have much to do, and I'm not really as a Christian. Where I tell you, you can get over. You could change nations going over into the area, letting God use you praying in tongues. God gave every Christian, probably, I personally believe tongues is one of the biggest supernatural tools that was ever handed to anybody. And the church threw it out generally. They've thrown it out, and the people who've had it have treated it like it was something little instead of the huge thing it is. And so we're in a position, man, we don't know what to do, but the Holy Ghost is working in us beyond the ability of the weakness that we have, and our weakness is the fact that we don't know everything. Hallelujah. But that doesn't stop the church. The church is not stopped on the basis of the knowledge we have. Glory to God. You're not stopped. You know, the devil will say, you know, God ain't going to answer your prayer. Say, look, maybe I don't know how to pray it right, but I'm going to let the Holy Ghost pray it. We'll get it right now. This one will work. Hallelujah. You know, did you ever think about, it says this in 1 Corinthians in the 14th chapter. It talks about praying. It says about blessing. It says a guy who blessing in tongues, he says he blesses in tongues. He said he did well, or he did good. He said just the other guy wasn't edified. In other words, when you're given blessing, you know you can sit down and pray over your food in tongues? Do you know you can bless things just by praying in tongues? Say, I'm going to bless you in the name of Jesus and pray tongues over somebody. It says in the scripture, you did well. See, the church doesn't use tongues. Tongues is good. See, when you're around people who know how to use tongues and what it's for, use it a lot. It said the guy who prayed in tongues. In other words, I can bless by praying in tongues. I don't have to do it. See, we bless by just our knowledge we got. No wonder people don't get blessed much. But see, people, even the Spirit-filled church, has hardly ever read 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, yet it's all there. But they don't read it. And they read it religiously and think something else about it, I guess. I don't know. But it says, you're doing well when you bless with tongues. So people say, we say a blessing over your food. Well, if somebody's there and they don't understand this tongues thing and what it's about, pray in your natural, what you know, and pray it for them. But you can bless your food by praying over it in tongues. And the Bible says you did well. You did a good job. Hallelujah. So whatever you're doing, if you don't know what to say, know what to say in the natural, pray in tongues over it. Glory to God. You know, and the Bible says you did well. Hallelujah. I'm going with the scripture. I don't care what some human says about it. I care less what somebody... It says I'm doing well. I don't care if... Say, well, you don't know what you said. Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. I did good. It don't no matter what, if I knew it or not. I did what was good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we end here. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you as we looked into these things tonight in the scriptures. Father, I just thank you for encouraging us, Father God, Lord God, especially taking us to a higher level to walk, Lord God. And Father, what a wonderful, glorious gift that you gave to us when you filled us with the Holy Ghost so we could speak in other tongues. And Father God, Father, you know, forgive us for not walking in the light of the truth and things. But Lord God, Lord, we're not going to stop here. Lord God, we're not going to sit here and have a pity party. We're not going to stop at this spot. Lord God, we're going to go on. Hallelujah. We're going to step out because, Father, the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. It is the truth that will make us free. And so, Father God, I want to thank you. You're revealing the truth to us. And, Father, we're going to step out in a greater glory. Father God, you're going to work more mightily in us. Father, Father, these last days and this revival, this move that is going on, Father, we're going to enter into it. And, Father, we're going to walk, hallelujah, in a place where men have never walked before in the Spirit, where people have not known or seen the glory that shall be revealed in these last days. And Father God, that through vessels, Lord God, as Kenneth Hagin prophesied and said, there's a people who are going to rise up who are going to know their God. And Father, I want to thank you. We're the people that are rising up. We're part of that family, of that group that are rising up, hallelujah, that will know our God. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.